Hallelujah. He's worthy of all praise. He's worthy of all honor. He's worthy.
So worthy,
Pastor. Hallelujah or hallelujah. If you the Greek or the Hebrew, hallelujah or hallelujah. Either way, we're talking about someone who's worthy. Because he's been so good. Worthy because of who he is. He's worthy of all our praise and all of our worship. What a mighty loving God we have. The scripture was read earlier. We're only two verses, so I won't have you to get up. The 13th chapter of John's Gospel. And Jesus has said these words also in the 15th chapter, but I'm going to use it here where he says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have loved one another." Let me read that again. A new commandment. A new command. But a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. And he goes on to say, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. I want to speak with you a little while this morning. An endless season of unconditional love. An endless season of unconditional love. You know, during the past year, on a couple of occasions, I talked about the things that Jesus taught in the fifth through the seventh chapter of Matthew, where he was telling us that we should be living according to the will of God. Uh-huh. He talked to us about the Old Testament, if you will, about the commandments and about all the things that the prophets had said. That's what Jesus brought to us. I've mentioned that during those three chapters, Jesus didn't say anything about salvation. You know, when we come, our focus is on salvation. But Jesus wasn't talking about salvation. He was talking about righteousness. In those three chapters, he recognized and wanted us to recognize that the things that God wanted of us were very well documented. We could look at the experiences of those folks in the Old Testament. We could look at the commandments that were given and all the things that were there. We know the things that he hated. We know the way he handled situations that he did not like.
That's right.
We know a lot about God from the Old Testament. Certainly we learned a lot in the New Testament from the things that the apostles and others have talked about. But Jesus focused on doing the right thing. Jesus focused on doing the will of God. He said, if you look there at the law and the prophets, you'll find that there are things there that some folks may think I've come to change. But I'm not going to change a jot or a tittle. The way that it is the way that it will be. God hasn't changed it. And Jesus, if anybody, would be the only one who could make any additions or any adjustments to the Old Testament. He said, I'm not changing any of it. In other words, what's there is what I want, what the Lord would have you to do. But then, a little later, he gets to this point where he says, there's something else. You already have the Ten Commandments, but there's another commandment. There's something else that I want you to look at. A new commandment. A new commandment that I give to you. And when he talked about all the commandments in the Old Testament and all the things that they read in the law, the only thing that he talked about, really it looked like it may have been a change, was saying, do those things from your heart.
Yes.
Do those things with real love. But now he gets to the point where he says, a new commandment I give unto you. I know that you've learned that you're going to love your brother as yourself.
Yes, sir.
That's good. Love your brother as yourself.
Yeah.
But I'm going to take you to another level.
Come on, man.
I want you to love one another.
Yes, sir.
The way I have loved you. The way I've loved you, that's where I want you to go with this thing. I don't want you to have real love one for another. Somehow, if we look in the scriptures, we'll find back in the Old Testament again that there's a season, a time for everything under heaven. But Jesus would have us to know that this season of love, does not end. We know that the love of God has not ended. The love of God will not end. He wants us to have the same kind of love that he has for us. for other folks. If God's love doesn't end, if God's love is unconditional, if we're going to be like Jesus is, if we're going to walk like Jesus did, if we're going to live like Jesus lived, if we're going to love like Jesus loved, it has to be unconditional. Wait a minute. Not only does it have to be unconditional, but it has to be not just for a season. I bring this up because last week I was talking about this, the season of love. When we think about Christmas, it's a season of joy and a season of love. And as I was on my way home driving, and God let me know, love is not for a season. No. And if we really love, it's not for a season. It doesn't come and go. There aren't four loves in a year. There's only one season, a season of love. And once you've got it, once you've got Jesus in your heart, once it's real, you find yourself living in that new season, that season where Jesus wants us to be. He wants us to love one another. He wants us to care about one another. He wants us to have love, and he wants to have caring and forgiveness. Loving, caring, forgiving. He didn't just say it. He didn't just tell us those things. He walked those things. The way that he lived, if we look, but somehow, if we want to know what some things are, we have to see somebody demonstrate it. When I talk about love, it used to be that I just have to remember the way my mother used to treat me and the things. Talk about love. She didn't just say love. She showed love. Because I came to know a lot about love. I came to know a lot about things that I need to know about, seeing people do the things that God would have us to do. I've been around some folks, and I've seen when they pray that they're talking, and it's obvious they're talking to the Lord. They're not trying to impress somebody, but the way God would have us to pray. Because some of us, it's easy enough to play church. I know what church folks are supposed to look like, and I can look like a church folk if I want to. I can walk like a church folk, but God wants us to not just look it. He wants us to live it. And somehow, when you see somebody who's really living it, you can tell, and this is somebody that's doing the things God's way. That's what God would have us to do. Any of us, as I look around here now, I think everybody here is real right now. I believe so. But see, I can't tell the difference. All of you look like church folk, but I can't tell the difference. It's something that happens down in your heart. I don't know how you handle things and how you handle difficult situations. I don't know how problems, when they come up, how you handle those problems. I don't know how you speak to folks when you're real angry with them. I don't know those things. To me, y'all look like church folks. Now, it's good to see this large crowd of church folks. Now, I'm sure that intermingled somewhere out in the church folks, there are some folks that just play in church. There are some folks that look real. Is churchy a word? Look real churchy. Some folks that look like they're really on the Lord's side. But it's got to be real. It's got to be real. If it's not real, you're wasting your time. Jesus told us that as well. He said, you do all these things, but if you're doing it to get praised, if you pray the way you pray, so the folks will say, that person can really pray. I want to hear him pray again. No. If you're praying to try to impress somebody, you've already got everything you're going to get out of that prayer. But if you're talking to the Lord, that prayer is a whole different. And in giving, he told us all these things. That I'm a church folk, so I'm gonna give, and I want you to know I'm going to give. I'm not just going to put this bill. I'm going to put this $10 bill, wave it. Anybody see that? Yeah. Here's another one. I put two tens. Because I'm a church folk. Yeah. That's right. Love's the same way. We love the same way we pray. Sometimes it's real. Yeah. We reach out to one another. Yes, sir. Sometimes it's real. Yeah. There are some folks that you'll hug on Sunday morning that you won't speak to. There are folks. I just said we're church folks here. There are folks who will love you up on Sunday morning, reach out and can't wait to get to your hand before church is out. Want to let you know that you've been in their prayers and they care about you on Sunday morning. But if you see them in the Safeway, somehow it's strange how they always go down the other aisle. I don't know where I got all that from. I'm just talking about the difference in being church and playing church. And Jesus wants us to know that he wants us to love the way he loves. He wants our love to be limitless. He wants our love to be timeless. He wants us to show our love to somebody who needs us. He wants us to show our love to people who don't show love to us. He wants us to have real love. And so when we recall this, now certainly it's a season of joy because we're reminded of the Lord when we come to this Christmas time. But this can't be a season of love because we're already in and should always be in that season where we're reaching out to others the way the Lord would. Somebody needs you. You need to have enough love to respond to that need. Or somebody just needs a gentle touch. You need to be loving enough to reach out with love and touch them. Somebody wants to sit down and pray with you because they want to get you to get in touch with the Lord along with them. Not to pray just for them, but to pray with them. So somebody needs all of those things. And all of those come together when the love is real. Talking about real love. Loving. Caring. And forgiving. Jesus showed us all those things. He showed us his caring when there was somebody was in need and somebody going through a problem. He was healing and he was touching and he showed his caring. He wants us to have that same kind of caring, care about them. If you're in a situation and you're down, I'm going to be down as long as I know you are because I love you enough. Love makes you do that. Love makes me care about your situation, Reverend Jasper. Love makes me want to get out of that, wants you to get out of that problem. And I won't feel right till I know that you're. Love wants makes me feel like I want to be a part of helping you to get through. That's caring. That's caring. I really care. That love makes you do that. Love makes me care for you. Love makes me consider you to be a part of me, if you will. That's what real love is. Who are we supposed to love? Love everybody. That's what Jesus said. Love your enemy. Love every. I want you to be out and through that situation that you're wrapped up in now. I want you to be out of that problem that feel can't be solved. And until you're through it, until you're out of it, it's going to pain me as well. Jesus showed that by the way he touched and the way he healed and the way he spoke to folks to bring them through their situation. But he also showed us something that's maybe a little more difficult for many of us. We talked about loving, we talked about caring, but this is all wrapped up in love. I'm talking about forgiveness now.
Amen.
Somehow it seems like forgiveness is difficult for us. We find ourselves going through something and we say we forgive, but I'll forgive, but I won't forget. I'm going to forgive, but I'm going to keep watching you awfully close. Forgiving is something that's maybe a little more difficult. When you really forgive, you let that problem go beyond you, and you start wanting the best for that person who put you through that situation, whatever it might have been. You may have put me through something. You may have caused me a problem, but I'm going to forgive you for it. If I'm really going to forgive you, I'm going to put it behind you. Because, you know, if I don't put it behind me, carrying it along with like a ball and chain, I can't run for the Lord if I've got a chain on my foot. I'm talking about a chain of hatred or distrust or all those other things that we find in non-forgiveness. You got to forgive. You got to be willing to forgive. Jesus let us know how you do that. He was carrying a cross. Think about this. He was carrying a cross, and he was carrying it down the cobblestones of Jerusalem. We saw the cobblestones, how they are, where he carried that cross. And somehow every time the cross would drop into the crack between the cobblestones, we know that had to cause more and more pain to his shoulder. All of that pain, folks standing around calling him everything except the Son of God. And somehow the reason he was carrying that cross was for them. The reason he was carrying that cross was for me. The reason he was carrying that cross was folks who did not deserve to be forgiven. But Jesus, even in the most difficult part of the time, while they were nailing him to the cross, hanging there with the nails in his hands, said, Father, Father, forgive them. Forgive them. Forgive them. I don't want this to be on their record anymore. Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. Father, he forgave me my sins. I know that no matter what anybody does to me, It can't possibly compare with every what the folks were doing to Jesus. I'm talking about folks that Jesus was saying, Father, forgive. Nobody could possibly make me think that there was anything that I've ever gone through or could possibly have gone through that could compare with what Jesus was going through when he said, forgive the folks that are doing this to me. Forgive those that are putting me through all of this pain. Forgive them, Father. Forgive them. Forgive them. Forgive them. I'm talking about unconditional love, giving unconditional forgiveness. Unconditional. Not just for a season. Certainly during this time, we'll think about the fact that that's when Jesus came in to provide all of that forgiveness and to provide that salvation. We can't help but have joy. The joy shouldn't be for a season either. But the forgiveness that God has for us is limitless, unconditional, and not for a season. We need to reach out to others, not for a season, but with the kind of love that they know whenever they see you, it's real. I don't just love you at Christmas time. I don't just love you when you're doing good things for me, when I'm going through the good seasons. No, no, love is unconditional. There's a time for every purpose under heaven. Love does not fall on that list. Love needs to be unconditional. Love needs to be unconditional. Love needs to be unconditional. Now, when we read that old scripture that said love was among those, Jesus took it off the list. We are no longer seasonal in our caring about one another, forgiving one another, reaching out to one another in love. I don't know, every now and then I just need a touch of love. I just need somebody to just say, Pastor, I love you. You don't know how it makes me feel. Pastor, I'm glad you're here. Pastor, I was thinking about you. Words of love, and it's not hard, but somehow when I hear it, I can recognize, somehow it always seems real to me. Maybe I'm just think it's real. No, I always feel the real words, the real love, and it's special to me. And I'm sure all of you are the same way. Real words of love. Not any necessarily big gift, a gift of love, words of love. Real love doesn't require an awful lot. Real love doesn't cost an awful lot. Real love is unconditional. And when it's real, when you're doing it the way Jesus did, a new commandment. Yeah, I know you already had those. You already read them. You've already learned them. You know what it says in the Old Testament. But a new commandment I gave you. I want you to go beyond what you've already learned, what has already been real, what you already know is the truth. I've said it's all real. Jesus said all that's in the Old Testament, the laws and the prophets, they're all real, and you need to live by them. But I want you to go to another step. Take all of that and hold on to it. Continue to do God's will according to the word. But I want you to go one step higher, a new commandment I've given to you, that you love one another. And he said, wait a minute, let me make sure you know what I'm saying now, that you love one another. He goes on after the semicolon to say, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Yes. Not just love one another, like we some of us, you know, do. That's my friend. That's somebody I know. No. Love one another the way Jesus loved. Limitless, unconditional, without a season, always the same. I love you. If I love you, it's real. If I love you, it's unconditional. If I love you, it doesn't change with the seasons.
That's right.
There are going to be seasons in our lives that we find ourselves going through. There are seasons when everything's okay. When everything's okay, I love everybody. When I'm going through my difficult times, I don't want to talk to you on the phone. No. You have to make, there can't be changes in season. Not in love. Love is real. Love is unconditional. Love needs to be without season. If there's somebody who you have a situation with where somehow it seems that you've allowed it to go on for a long time, you've allowed yourself to get to the point where, well, I don't need to talk to that person. They don't need me and I don't need them. If you allow that to happen, I believe what you don't realize is you got Satan allowing himself, getting himself involved in your personal business. I'm saying Satan's doing that. But the Lord would have us to know, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Don't allow that anger to go on and on, because the longer that anger goes on, the longer that problem exists, the more time Satan has to stir up that situation and to make it worse. Instead of thinking about how you're going to get through this and how you want to forget about it, Satan talks to tell you how you can take revenge. Satan talks telling you what you ought to do to make that person know they better not do that to you again. Satan tries to make sure that you that he uses that situation to drive a wedge between you and somebody God would have you to love. So I'm not telling you that I want you to stand up if that's the case, and there's somebody that you that kind of situation exists. I'm going to ask you that as we go down from this place, or even before we go down from this place, that you just take a moment to pray, asking God to touch your heart and strengthen your will. To not allow Satan to have that wedge. Not allow Satan to have that time. Not allow Satan to tear apart something that should be beautiful. Not allow Satan to rip up a relationship that has lasted or should last over the years. Not allow Satan to do anything to interrupt and to tear up that special love that he would have us to have for one another. A new commandment. Love one another. As I have loved you, love one another. Not just say it, not just talk about it.
That's right.
Talking about real love. Let's talk to God. Our Father and our loving God, we come, Father, in this season of joy. But somehow we've come to call a season of love because during this time we know you showed us your love through Jesus Christ. But somehow, Father, we realize also that your love is not seasonal. The love that Jesus showed was not seasonal. Even during the most difficult time, the season of love did not end. He continued to love us through all of the difficulties and all the pain and all the things that he was put under during those days. We just ask in the precious name of Jesus Christ that we do as he has told us to do. He's told us that we need to love. Love unconditionally is what he's meaning. Love unconditionally and love without season, love without limits. Help us, Father, to have that kind of love. Father, we know we won't change in one day. We're asking you to help us to grow in that love. Help us to become more of what you'd have us to be. We know that, Father, through the Holy Spirit, which has been given to us, we can have all kinds of gifts that you will provide to us. Gifts that make us more and more like Jesus. Gifts that help us to become more and more of what you would have us to be. Father, we just ask in the precious name of Jesus Christ that you fill our hearts with more and more love through the Holy Spirit. Father, we know that you can, and we're asking that love get to a level where there'll be no doubt. If anybody looks upon us, if anybody sees the way we're treating our friends and even those who consider ourselves enemies, Father, even if we go through this life in the way you would have us to go, they will know by our love, by the way we walk, by the way we show that love, by the way we reach out with love, by the compassion and forgiveness that we show, they'll know that we are the disciples of Jesus Christ. Help us to get to that level, Father. Help us to reach that level, Father. And Father, if there's anyone here in this congregation at this time, anybody under the sound of my voice that's holding something that's keeping them from being able to run for you and to be all that you would have them to be, Father, help them to kick off that chain.
Yes, sir.
Help them to kick Satan to the curb and run on with love for you. In the precious name of Jesus, loving name of Jesus, beautiful name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank God. Amen. Thank God for his endless love. His love without season. His unconditional love. The love he wants us to have one for another. Jesus is real. I'm glad you said that, choir, because he is real. But there's somebody here, though they recognize how real he is, they have not yet said yes to the Lord. Somebody who knows that he's able to make changes where it looks like no changes can be made. Somebody who has already been showing love, but they haven't given themselves over to him yet. Somebody who's right here, right now, has not said yes to the Lord. If that's you, I wouldn't wait till another occasion. I wouldn't wait for a more special day. I wouldn't wait for a bigger crowd. I wouldn't wait for a special season. No, I believe you ought to come on right now. Because when you give yourself over to him, there'll be no doubt that that was the right day. That was when I should have come. That was when I should have said to the Lord, I'm on your side. That's when I should have said to the world, I'm giving myself over to Jesus. Make this that special day. He loves you. He loves you. Not because you deserve his love. He loves you. He cares about you. He's forgiving you. He just wants you to put yourself in his loving arms. Or maybe now, just maybe now, there's somebody who's already said yes to the Lord, already made commitments to live for him, already said, I'm going to try to love the way the Lord loves me. But you made those commitments to the Lord in another place. But now that you're here, maybe you feel like you'd like to be a part of this household of faith. Come and praise the Lord with us. Come and bring those talents and those gifts that the Lord has given you. Use them here at First Mount Island Baptist Church. Because I believe it's just not a coincidence that you stopped by. I believe God has something for you to do, and I believe it's right here in this household of faith. I believe you got some gifts. I believe you got some abilities that God wants to use here in this place. My Lord. He's not waiting for you to get right. He's not waiting for you to be perfect. He's not waiting for you to be all that you can be. He wants you to put yourself in his hands. He's ready to mold you into something special. He's ready to turn you into something beautiful. He's ready to make the changes that you think you want to make, but he can make them. Is there somebody who wants to say yes? My Lord. He's real. If he's real. Jesus is real. Jesus is real. Jesus is real. My Lord. Thank you.